Welcome, I'm Rhonda.
And I'm Jared.
And this is
Why Conversations,
where we inspire,
engage,
uplift,
and motivate change around our YMCAs.
Brought to you by YMCA of Delaware, Spark Studios.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Why Conversations, where we dive into important topics that matter. I'm Jared, and I am thrilled to be joined today by, as always, my co-host, Rhonda.
Oh, that's nice, Jared. Mm-hmm. I like the eye connection to it. It made it really,
You got it.
Yeah. You did a good job, so I appreciate that. Hi, everyone. It's great to be here with you all today.
Well, today we're diving into a very, very, very important topic that's close to all of our hearts. It's Autism Awareness Month. April is Autism Awareness Month. And it's a perfect time to shed light on this important issue.
Right. And Jared, as we all know, autism awareness isn't just about understanding what autism is, but also about recognizing the strengths and the challenges of individuals on the autism spectrum and creating a more inclusive society for everyone. So this is a great topic today.
Yeah, and I'm really excited about our guest today, too. But Rhonda, it's important to recognize autism awareness is just not about this month.
Right.
Not just about just day.
Right.
It's about a journey of learning and understanding and acceptance for our entire community.
Right. And I think when we just point out that it's Autism Awareness Month, it's just that we're highlighting this opportunity to bring to light what's going on, from dispelling myths and misconceptions to discussing initiatives that promote inclusivity and support for individuals with autism and their families.
Yeah. Well, today we have some special guests, as I mentioned. Some really special guests. They're experts.
I like when we have guests, though. Don't you like when we have guests?
I like when we have
in
experts.
In the studio, they look very nice.
Okay. Yeah. So we have some special guests that are experts, that are advocates, that are individuals with lived experience. And it's through their experience that we'll gain an understanding of autism and how we can all contribute to becoming more of an inclusive community.
Right. So whether you're new to the topic or you have been advocating for autism awareness for years, we invite you to join us on this enlightening journey with us today.
So, Rhonda, why don't you introduce our panelists today?
So I'm going to allow them to introduce themselves, and I'm going to start with Mr. Brian.
Good afternoon. I'm Brian Hall. I'm the Executive Director of Autism Delaware.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's good to be here and seeing all these smiling faces.
great.
And I'm Dan Gatman. I'm the Director of Development at Autism Delaware. Thank you
awesome.
For having us.
Awesome.
Boy, y'all got two great voices. Y'all
should have
your own singer group. Maybe even your own podcast.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah.
We're working on a TikTok routine, too, so we'll get there eventually.
Yeah, okay. I think you can do it. But we just wanted to highlight something really quickly, because the YMCA of Delaware, in collaboration with Autism Delaware, is proud to announce the statewide acceptance and inclusion tour taking place throughout April. So this initiative aims to foster connections, promote equality, and celebrate diversity within our community. Central to this tour is Alex, the Autism Delaware Bear. He's in our building today and is symbolizing our commitment to inclusivity and honoring the legacy of Alex Eldriff, a dedicated advocate for autism inclusion.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to throw this to any one of y'all who want to answer this question. And this is important, because when we talk about autism, we tend to talk about it on a spectrum. So talk to us first. What does that mean when we say autism spectrum?
Well, I always like to think of, you can get specific and I can talk about the high level terms.
Right.
But I always used to think about it as the quirky kids. Mm-hmm. The kids that may not always want to play sports or interact with you one-to-one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sometimes they struggle just to hang out in a group.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, they're very talkative. Sometimes they're not talkative.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they can be aggressive. Sometimes not. Right. Boy, doesn't that sound like you and me?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So when we're talking about autism spectrum, we're really just talking about the spectrum of behaviors.
Okay.
And so, there's no big difference in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
There's some ways that you can, classify someone who's on the spectrum. But I think of it as inclusion, as awareness, and that we all play a part in this role.
Right.
And, we use these terms potentially or problematically sometimes, but also we use the terms to allow folks to get some extra special supports that they need at challenging times in their life. So to me, the spectrum is just that. It's a spectrum of behaviors, sometimes associated with how information is communicated, sometimes in how behaviors are presented. That's my definition.
And I can stay there for just a second because you said something that I think is important. Anytime somebody's different in schools or in the workplace, sometimes we make jokes like, oh, they're on the spectrum. That's not funny, is it?
No, it really is not. Because, you know, it's no difference when you've had a bad day and we talk mental health and, you know, you need to go take a time out for yourself and someone laughs at you or doesn't give you the support that you need during that time. It's all about, you know, we all have ways to interact in different situations. And if anything, if you see someone struggling and you're familiar with them, why don't you just check in on them? That's a lot of time what happens with folks on the spectrum. You know, people leave us alone. They don't come and engage us. And the problem is if you're struggling, don't you want me sometimes to come and engage you after you had a minute?
Absolutely.
So, you know, we need to think about that as we look at individuals or consider individuals on the spectrum or people presenting these unfamiliar behaviors across the board.
Yeah. Why, Ron, I know I'm dominating.
No, you're fine. I'm good with that, Jared. Okay. Keep going.
It's like, first, let's just even step back. Why are the two of you inspired to do the work you do every day? What inspires you to do this?
I think for those of us, I can tell you my personal story quickly. I was raised by folks that worked in nonprofits. I was told from a very young age, you give back to the community around you and, you know, we leave the world a better place than where we found it. And I think I've always wanted to be somewhere that helped uplift families in particular. And so for me, the opportunity to come in here was a chance to have an impact on people like myself, you know, father of, you know, a number of kids and, it feels real. It feels personal. And I think when we can put our own heart into what we're doing and really get behind whatever that cause or mission is, you know, what we do in our day-to-day work is that much more impactful.
I'm really resonating with those, with that. You know what I mean? Like, we get up every day at the YMCA to do this work because we love people. And we want to make the world a better place. So we appreciate what you do every day.
Thank you.
Thank you. And can you share with our listeners your personal journey or connection to autism awareness and advocacy?
Well, I mean, it's interesting when you think about it. You know, Dan just spoke about mission. And, you know, I'm a kid who was raised in the YMCA. You know, years and years, ago. And back then, you know, the Y was a place we called Melting Pot. You know, because everyone was accepted in the Y and everyone had opportunities that they basically could not get anywhere else. And so it created a place where, you know, I felt like family and teams and groups and coming together. So throughout the years, I've always been in things related to groups, whether it's choirs, bands, sports. My first college job out of college was a residential staff in New York. And it's all talking about, and it's all about working with kids. And, you know, kids from all over the place presenting all kind of different disorders. And through that process, you know, and over the years, I ended up running a residential center or unit that was all kids on the spectrum. And that's back when they really didn't know how to classify. They were called PDD, Pervasive Development Disorder Children. And so through that work and over the years of being in residential services, the one thing I always, that stood out for me was families. Families would come in and say, Brian, we need your help. We need your help so, you know, we don't have to always reward our kids in the way that most people don't have to reward their kids. We need your help so we can come home and go to dinner together and sit down and just enjoy each other's company. You know, we need your help so that, you know, I can feel safe at night when I go to bed. And so I think understanding that, you know, it takes a community to raise a child, it has always led me to advocating on behalf of children, families, and those who don't have a voice. And so I've been in a few different states, worked with a lot of different people, and as young as prenatal, I've worked with prenatal moms. And, you know, so having the opportunity to be in a place where, you know, it's not just about the service delivery, it's also about advocacy. Having the opportunity to speak with governors, having the opportunity to speak with legislators, having the opportunity to be out front and just enjoy, you know, engaging in a process that hopefully leads to better change for a community that sometimes feels like their voice is not being heard.
Yeah.
You said something really important, because our work is not just about providing good quality programs, right? It's about systems change. And to get the system change, we gotta have policies that reflect our vision for a better future. So that's just extremely important, knocking on all the folks' doors that we need to knock on, and having them, one, understand, and two, advocating for the right practices and policies that lead to good outcomes. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. And, you know, the work you do every day is the work that we celebrate.
Well, thank you.
We celebrate, you know, your engagement with these kids, seeing these kids walk through the halls and just feeling like they're loved and supported. You know, that's what we want for all.
Yeah.
And that's why how we came together, the Bear and the Y and Autism Delaware, because for years we ran a swimming program that was just was not inclusive.
Right.
And we said, you know what? We need to think broader than that. Mm. We need to come to a place where who is the biggest provider of swimming and pool opportunity? The Y.
It's the Y.
We need to figure out how we can work together to create ways where more people can join in and come together and just be festive together, enjoy the water like a lot of us do. And I thank you.
Thank you
for creating a place where it was open for us to come in and allow families who typically may not have the
opportunity. Yeah,
you know, you did it. So thank you.
Well,
so,
I have to take that as president and CEO. Thank you, y'all are giving it to me sometime. Like, I don't get them. Can you just say it one more time?
For Jared.
Give me one more.
This is just for Jared. He does an amazing job.
I just wanted to get that out there.
Because what we do here at the Y is that we have partnered with you, and we have Delaware and Autism Delaware have come together to offer a water safety program to our children, right?
Yes.
And adults with autism spectrum disorder, ASD. And it's called SWAM, SWAM, and it's currently available at our Brandywine, Dover, and Sussex locations. So that's an amazing, amazing program. And I do love the fact that you said that, you know, you're trying to make this inclusive for everyone. I think the hardest part is trying to get kids to understand that there are differences. When you meet your peer, peer is not like you. And how can we get them to understand that Johnny may not be like I am, but that doesn't make Johnny any less than myself. Mm-hmm. So I love the fact, I love the Bear. I love having him here with us. It's teaching the kids that there are true differences between you and I. So how would you speak to that, Dan, with that difference in helping kids understand the differences that others face?
Sure. So I think, I mean, we've seen what's happened in this country, I think, the last few years. Differences are what drive us, right? For better or worse.
Right.
I think a lot of what happens, whether it's policy change or the uplifting of the community around us, it comes from somebody being different, right?
Yeah.
And I think we have an opportunity as two organizations that work directly with families to really start and educate in the home first.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think a lot of the level of acceptance that we hope to encourage people to use in the community, you know, it starts at home.
Right.
It starts with mom and dad teaching the siblings about, you know, being different. And I'm the oldest of three. Each one of us is very different from the next. It may not be related to autism, but you can take that, whether it's race or gender or any other kind of difference, and you can grow and learn from, you know, accepting and embracing people that are around you. Because I think the only way we get better as a society is if we start to embrace those differences and grow from them and utilize them in our day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I've been here just over a year. The amount that I've learned from the participants on our program in just that first year is worlds more than I could have imagined when I started here. And seeing the impact, when we go out and Brian talks about being inclusive, you know, we look at our families that come out, and I may have a mom and a child with autism, but then you have two other kids who are neurotypical who aren't affected by autism. They're right along there with their sibling.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they're providing that support for the sibling, and they're helping mom or dad out in the process.
Right.
But when they can take that learned experience and live it every day and then go to school and pass it along to their peers.
Right.
Right. And it really grows organically kind of from the ground up. I think that's where we have the biggest potential impact. You know, if I can get my brother and my sister to see what I'm doing or see what somebody else is doing and we're all on the same page, then we can take that and we can branch that out, you know, beyond. And I think that's programs like what we do and what you guys do here. that's what it's all about, right? It's spreading that message.
Yeah, I you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking, like, people by nature sometimes are afraid of what they're unfamiliar with. They get afraid, they get hesitant. And I think, you know, we got to close the distance. Like, proximity matters. Like, get close to folks that are different to you. Let's embrace that, not be afraid of it, right? Let your fear be the trigger for your action rather than a wall for distance.
And that's what being inclusive is all about, right? I mean, we look at the school system and you have maybe a special needs classroom where kids are not in the same mainstream room with all of the peers in terms of their age versus being in a room with everybody else that's their friend group and whatever, right? That's what we're pushing for. We want to see that ability to be one, to be a part of what's bigger, what's going on around you. You have to be able to embrace those differences, and the community around you has to embrace those differences to then accept that person back in. And that's where we really see that change happen.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. You know, what else can we do to demystify autism? Like, what are some other things that we can all do to learn more, to take ownership personally for closing that distance?
Well, I think, you know, Dan hit on a lot of things. To me, it begins in the most fundamental place or environment that exists. It's the family.
Right.
It's that immediate family. You know, when we were younger, you know, you didn't quirk or talk bad about a kid that presented a little different.
Right.
If you did, your mama, your daddy, or your grandma let you know that's not acceptable in this house.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, so they made sure that you were exposed to the folks who may not look like you, who don't understand necessarily how you share your words. Mm-hmm. But they also explain that to you.
Right. Mm.
And I think it becomes as basic as, you know, we create opportunities, but sometimes, you know, I can create as many opportunities as I want. But if I can't get you to come to the opportunity, I am not doing what I need to do, or you're not coming, you're not doing what you need to do. You know, it's that whole saying, like, you can lead them to the water, but you can't make them drink. And so what we hope to do and what we try to do is create such a place where, you know, you walk into an office and you never notice a individual there who's a IDD or on the spectrum working there. Because you never know. But then we talk about that experience and say, look, these folks you've been interacting with are on the spectrum.
Yeah.
You didn't know that.
Right.
Because, you know, they're all over the place. A lot of people say, you know, we don't always see Autism Delaware and the people you got working. And I say, well, there's about 150 individuals across this state working at any given point in time. And I hope you don't see them.
Right.
Mm.
Because that means that the people that are working with them in their natural environments are supporting them and we're supporting, so they do what we do.
Right.
Yeah, work.
Yeah, work.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So I think the best thing we can do is try to create these environments where we're all coming together to wrap around and support someone. We know that doesn't always have to exist forever, but sometimes you need someone to help you to get over that hurdle.
Right.
And so that's what we do.
Right.
We help you get over that hurdle, and then we might step away for a year or two, and you might call us up and say, hey, we need a little help. We got another hurdle.
Yeah.
And then we jump back in with one of our services to provide that support. So that's what we think. You know, it's just having opportunity to allow our folks to do what, they're interested in doing.
Well, it's funny that you said something. You said something, not funny, but it was great what you said, is that it starts at home and in the families. Yeah. And back in the day,
if
my mom or my grandmom heard me say certain things, but we're not back in the day, right? So our day and time has really changed. And trying to get children now to understand that there are real differences with us, how would you explain to a child, or what are some of the identifying factors so that if there is a situation where a child is in a classroom and no one knows how to identify, what are some of the identifiers for being on the spectrum of autism, so you can kind of help the next person help that person and then help the family at large?
Well, usually, you know, I mean, I can give you some specifics, but that's not how it goes. Because if you know one person with autism, you know one person with autism.
Yes. Okay.
We all don't present the same.
Okay.
So I always tell folks, when you have an inclusive classroom, you know, and one child struggles with another child, I always talk to the child that kind of has better behaviors or different or more positive and say, hey, when you struggle, what do you do?
Right.
Or how do we help you? Do you think they might need the same thing right now? A little space.
Right.
A little time.
Right.
You know, maybe they need to walk around the classroom a little bit. What do we do for you when, you know, when you're struggling a little bit, you know? And it shouldn't always be about the individual and what they're, how they're presenting. Sometimes it's us,
right,
and how we receive the individual that's presenting.
Okay.
So we need to think about that. And I always talk to any staff person that starts at Autism Delaware, I usually try to say the most important thing is self-awareness.
Yeah.
You need to understand yourself before you can understand someone else.
Yeah.
Dang. Saying that again.
So, you know, so that's...
And that's all across the board.
Absolutely. Yes. So what are we talking about? You, me, and everyone else.
Yes.
So we get so caught up in these stigmas, and really it comes back to you and me and how we perceive.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. Do you offer services that will align with what we do here? Because we have kids that come in that are on the spectrum, and I feel like sometimes we just need that extra... help or that extra support. Do you offer that at Autism Delaware to say, hey, we can offer you the support to understand and how to deal with that? Because like how you said, it might be that child needs to step away for 5 or 10 minutes or just need to walk around the classroom and just trying to make sure that everyone is comfortable in the environment that they're in.
So the services that we provide, I think one of the main reasons why we're here is because we are a resource to the community.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so being a resource to the community, and I should have started this when you said experts, because I never considered myself an expert.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You as a parent, as a guardian, you're the expert.
Right.
I'm just the little guy over here trying to help you create and achieve your goals.
Right.
So at Autism Delaware, when we start talking about specific behaviors, we don't currently provide what we would call BA services, applied behavioral analysis services, ABA. You'll hear that language. That's someone who has a different kind of certification. Now, are we planning and are we in the process? Absolutely.
That's great.
But what we do now is we help the family sometimes figure out what kind of service they need so that they can, their child or individual can have a better experience, which means that person might work with the family around talking to you about, hey, you know, he might just need an extra 5 minutes to transition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something we help families with and give families the resource because, as I said, families are the primary educator of the child, not Autism Delaware. Mm-hmm. We're just a resource that helps them be the best that they can be. So if you as a YMCA wants to have some information or direction, we can always provide that. We've got family navigators and all kind of folks who know what's out there that can lead and support the work that happens here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's the best way to approach it, but give us a little time. We'll be providing those individual services.
And we appreciate that.
You got to. Well, I'm curious about something. You know, the media has a profound impact on a perception we have over anything, right?
Yes.
Right.
But one, has the media, what's your perception of the media and how it portrays autism? And two, has social media made your job easier or more difficult?
That's an interesting question. especially, I will say this. Brian's been here 8 years, thereabouts, right?
No, 12.
Sorry. In 13. This role. Maybe.
Well, this role, yeah, this role, 8.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I said, I've been here about a little over a year. So this is still, as I said to Brian just the other day, this is still my learning curve, right? I'm still picking up a lot of this stuff, especially on the program side. I think what's interesting for me, I like to think I still have somewhat, in that sense, of an outsider perspective. You know, it's still a little fresh. I think that the media has done a better job in recent years of not playing into the stigmas that are out there.
Okay.
I'm not so sure that the media has always done a great job of accurately portraying people with developmental disabilities, whether it's autism or otherwise, but I think they're better at it now than it used to be. But I think that comes, like many other things in our community, with better education and growth, you know, on the whole. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. I mean, I think, you know, media, a lot of times media and just marketing always looks at the negative.
Right.
You know, they'll talk about when an individual who gets arrested and who should not be arrested because they're just, you know, presenting behaviors that come with their diagnosis, right?
Right.
But there's no one in that community who's knowledgeable enough to to get in there to intervene before all that happens and it blows up.
Right.
Those are the kind of stories you hear on TV.
Yeah.
But you don't hear about the stories when you have an architect firm that has 300 architects and one of those architects in there of 10 or 20 or 30 of them are actually on the spectrum.
Yes. Yeah.
And just living their life. You don't hear that. You know, you only hear those things that jump out because, you know, they figured to draw a specific point to a cause. Mm. Fact is, autism has always existed and will always exist. It's just that we as a community need to learn that, you know, it's not always negative that gets presented. It's not just about negativity.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's about the positives that come out of these interactions, how much you grow when you engage with someone who's not as fortunate as yourself. Right. That's what the message should be.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's a good segue to the second part of your question, which was how does social media affect all this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, like anywhere else, social media can be good or bad, right? Mm-hmm. I think the way we try to use it is to promote not just awareness, but also the acceptance and inclusion that we're celebrating today and all month long. You know, we're putting stories out there, both success stories, but also the tough ones, right? We need to shed light on when there are challenges, whether it's in the home or the school, because we want other families to know they're not alone as they go through this journey. So the best thing that we can utilize social media for, and our marketing manager Kenzie's here with us today, you know, is to put those stories out for folks so that it normalizes what everyone that we work with is going through.
Right.
And if your child or your grandchild or whoever might have some of these similar things, you see that and it resonates with you and go, okay, I'm not alone in this. And I think that is about as powerful as you can get. Kenzie could tell you, we get plenty of people who comment back, who send us messages, you know, whether it's reaching out for help or sometimes it may very well be just to complain about something that they're going through. It's an outlet for them, right? And so it's our job to make sure that the content our organization puts out is meaningful, it's educational, it's inspirational. It's also our job to sort of police some of that and make sure that there isn't any negativity that's being funneled back in, because we all know social media at times can have some negativity there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our families are going through a tough time often, especially if it's early on, past, you know, right after a diagnosis. It's a challenging time. There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of frustration. Social media is a great outlet. What do we all do, right? My boss Brian over here really upset me today. I gotta put something on Facebook.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what our families are doing.
And that's true.
They need that outlet. They need to be able to express what they're dealing with. But it's our job to be that connector of the dots, to find a way to take what their frustrations are and find, you know, answers on our side, help them out.
Yeah. It's funny because, like, on social media, right now, there is a whole bunch of content that you see people with a whole bunch of differences who don't look like you. They can be, you know, it could be in a different format of being overweight, and it could be that your face looks like a difference from mine's, but there is so much content going on that you'll see. The first thing I run to is the comments, because I want to see what people are saying specifically about this particular thing that's on social media. And a lot of it is encouraging. Mm-hmm. Like, you're doing you. I love that you're putting yourself out there. So I feel like how you said, social media can be great, and then on the other opposite side, it can be something not so great. But I feel like to kind of make it in this, the content that it's in right now, there's a lot of people looking different from what you normally would see, who are just putting themselves out there, and people are really receptive to those types of things, because we all are not the same. Our differences is what makes this world what it is today.
Well, and Autism Delaware is not perfect.
Right.
Yeah. We're absolutely not. But we can't service everybody. We don't provide all the similar services that we did years ago. We just can't do it for multiple reasons. But, you know, people don't understand that, you know, it's called a spectrum. So you have some really high functioning individuals and you have some really low functioning individuals that, you know, need supports. And we're not always able to provide the services for everybody on that continuum. But what you don't know, and a lot of people don't realize, last year alone, I had a staff of 10 take in 7,000 calls.
Mm.
And people ask, what do you do when you're out here trying to raise funds? Well, I'm trying to support these 7,000 calls that are coming in here for folks who have questions at any point in time, you know, and there's a waiting list sometimes to get someone to call you back. Well, it's because we're busy.
Yeah.
We're busy trying to share knowledge and be resourceful to the community. You know, it is hard.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Now, what you all are doing is so important. And just, you know, going back to social media, while it's interesting that there's a plethora, like diversity is like every day, and we don't always acknowledge it.
Because right.
I think the downside of social media, which makes you, why your work is so important, it's obsession with perfection.
Yeah.
Like we're seeing this right. one image sometime.
Yeah.
And people are trying to be that. And even, I don't know what they call all that technology to make you look like something that yeah. you're not, right? Like, and then it makes you less internally feel less valued.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I worry about that aspect. But let's just closing this out. We are so happy to have you here today, and we appreciate yeah. what you do every day on the front lines. And how do people get involved with your organization? Like, what, make a shameless plug. Like, tell people how to get involved.
I'm going to say something, but I'm going to let Dan really tell you how they can be involved.
Yeah.
Look, it's simple. You know, we have a family. Our family grows every day.
Right.
You know, we have some major events, and I always call them family reunions because sometimes that's the only time I see an individual mm-hmm. in a year is this one time. So I call it the family reunion because then I get to know what has happened mm. all year
right.
long.
Right.
You
yeah.
know, we're a family. Families have ups. Families have downs.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, the cause is all, we're all together for the same goal to live our best lives. And that's what we try to create every day. And I say, you want to get involved? Reach out and touch someone. Mm-hmm. Come to an event. Learn what you can do. Mm-hmm. Look at our website and see if we're missing something.
Right.
Look for ways to gain access to the community. Because a big voice, those have been around me, has said, you know, what works for us works for all.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you're helping us, you helping all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, and we're an advocacy organization. Truly, we're one family at a time. One community at a
right.
time. That's who we are, and that's who we will always be.
I love that, Rhonda.
And that's I love great. That, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's, again, it's April, so this month is really special for us. You know, nationally, it's Awareness Month, Autism Awareness Month. Here in Delaware, though, where we as a state are leading the forefront of autism research and services like ours, you know, it's Autism Acceptance and Inclusion Month. We're beyond awareness at this point, right? We're in that family and classroom setting where we want that inclusion to now take place. So we offer some of that ourselves. I mean, this month is a great opportunity to come out and get involved. April 13th, we have a big walk for autism. It's at Fort DuPont in Delaware City. There's an opportunity there. You come out, come with our families. As Brian said, it's sort of our family reunion. We have a big day planned. There's two walks, a 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. You can come out and spend some day in the park with us. We do it again on the 20th down in Hudson Fields and Milton. So one up here, one down in Sussex County, depending on where you live. And, I mean, there are a number of other smaller community events throughout the month. There are also, we put on throughout the year, something called social recreation programming, which is really geared towards the families and giving opportunities for folks to come out and have a fun day or night out, but be inclusive, right?
Right.
So we do sensory-friendly train rides. We do a night with the Blue Rocks here in a couple weeks,
okay.
Some things like that. So there's opportunities all throughout the year. There's also a chance, you know, come out and volunteer with us. We always need volunteers, mm-hmm. whether it's at our events, whether it's going out and advocating for us. You know, last week we were down in Dover with the governor proclaiming it Autism Awareness Day here in Delaware. We need people fighting alongside of us for the families that we serve. So going out and advocating, learning how to contact your local legislators and making policy change, make this a reality for our families, you know, that's something that we're always looking for. All of that, autismdelaware.org, everything's on the site. You can go there, register for our events, talk to one of our staff about how you can incorporate us into a classroom, have somebody come out and
okay.
speak to your class, to an organization
like this.
That'd
be amazing here. I
yeah.
think that'd be very amazing here.
Come out to Hawaii and get your picture with Alex.
Yes.
Yeah. Right?
Come
yeah. Alex
yeah.
on tour
Alex.
All month. So,
he's
you
on
know.
Tour. Alex is on the go. He was working the front desk this morning answering the phone calls, and we appreciate Alex. Now, as I'm mentioning Alex, can you give us some backdrop on that whole, how Alex came to be? I had mentioned something earlier, but can you give us some backdrop on Alex the Bear?
Alex the Bear came out, really, you talked about Alex Eldridge. I always used to mess his name up. He was a staunch advocate for the community.
Okay.
And, you know, we've always wanted to have kind of a signature
mascot.
Mascot, thank mm-hmm. you. I lost the word there for a minute. And, you mm-hmm. know, it just seemed like you know, he's a big cuddly bear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and a big cuddly bear means, you know, you just know when you hug it, it's going to feel good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
I'm and feeling so, good right
you know,
now.
And when you see it, it just warms you up.
Yeah, I'm warm.
You know, I'm a Steeler fan. So, and you know, I always say the just same thing colder. To you non-Steeler yeah. folks out mm-hmm. here. You know, when you say the word Steeler, you always got to smile. So Alex the Bear does the same thing for the folks. It always makes you smile and feel good. And that's important.
Right.
You know, and so we connected the two, and it's a way to always show the warmth and caring and constant advocacy for a community that doesn't always have a voice. And we show that through a smile and a big bear kind of leading that charge for us as a mascot. And we just have really, and little kids love it because mm-hmm. yeah. it leads to questions.
The little yeah. kids love Alex yeah, the yeah, Bear yeah. here. Yes. So they fight over Alex the Bear. Who's getting Alex the Bear next? Alex been swimming today. oh, wow. with the kids.
That's a polar bear. swimming. We got Alex the polar bear here today. It's in a swim pool. Well, we thank y'all for being with us today. And I have to tell you, I'm really proud of the good work that y'all are
yes,
doing. And
very
see
much
us,
so.
The YMCA, as an ally.
Absolutely.
And a partner in this work. No one agency can do this
no,
good work
cannot.
Alone. So we're in this together. And I love what you said. You said, none of us are perfect.
No,
and
no.
I really need Rhonda to hear that. None of us are perfect.
None of us are perfect.
Well, we're all under construction. So we're really thankful for you being here today.
Thank you.
Appreciate
thank you both.
It.
We are
thank
all
you.
For having us. Yeah, so yeah. I appreciate it. Like Jared said, I love the work that you're doing. I love the fact that we are in partnership with Autism Delaware. I think it's great. So we appreciate you stopping in today with us.
No problem.
Thank you.
Hey everybody, thanks for tuning into the YMCA of Delaware Spark Studios. This has been another episode of Y Conversations. If you feel ignited, hop on over to our streaming platforms and tell your friends. Don't forget to be the spark for change.